Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a blessed day today. We got a lot of different topics to go over today, a lot of health stuff, so it's going to be a fun show today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. We're hoping and praying for better audio connections today, so we don't have to be going off and on the show for the whole hour like we did yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but the weather up here is absolutely beautiful. Things are absolutely great up here in North Carolina. We're just loving it. And the weather here is wonderful. It's about 55 degrees outside, clear blue skies today, no chemtrails, so that makes it really, really nice. What's your first story, bud?
Well, the first one I want to touch base on is, you know, we talk about this repeatedly on the show, but now, you know, a mainstream news company, the Daily Mail, actually picked up an article today showing the blatant research study that was just done, again, another one that shows that using statin drugs now increase your risk of type 2 diabetes by over 30%. The decade-long study of more than 3,200 patients found those who took statins were 30% more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. Some 6 million Britons take statins every day to reduce their cholesterol. Of course, again, they push in here that the doctors have always stressed that the advantages of the pill far outweighs the small chance of getting diabetes. Previous research had put the chance of developing type 2 diabetes at no more than 10 to 12% if someone did not take statins. The latest study, however, suggests the medication increased the risk by 30%. Now, this is something that everybody needs to realize. This is what mainstream media and mainstream research is starting to put now in here. In my opinion, from a lot of the people I've talked to that have been on statins, that have had not just issues with diabetes, but a plethora of other health issues, this is being massively, massively underplayed. And, of course, the doctors constantly say, well, the risk of developing diabetes should be balanced out against a constant and highly significant reduction in the risk of heart disease and strokes because of the statin drugs. And the truth is, it couldn't be any further from the truth, guys. The natural approaches that you can do to get off statins or not even to ever go on statins are so easy and so cost-effective and usually, in turn, cause really healthy increases in your energy, your mental acuity, all types of aspects of your body in a natural, healthy realm, instead of taking a really synthetic form of a drug, which is what it is, to synthetically and artificially lower your cholesterol into really unnatural levels that they should never be before. As we've talked about over the last 20 years, there has been a direct effort from the pharmaceutical companies to continually lower the healthy levels of statin drugs in the American population and the population worldwide. And first, you know, it was, oh, if you were 250 or lower, your cholesterol was fine. Then they came and said, well, it needs to be under 230. Then they said it needs to be under 220. Now they say it needs to be under 200. And this is all done as a ploy to keep people on these debilitating drugs. I've talked to so many people in person, on the phone, and in emails who have been on these drugs and have nothing but health problems, from the skeletal necrosis, from their muscles aching, their kidneys hurting, their mental acuity literally going to mush. As we talked about yesterday, the levels of dementia and Alzheimer's is an all-time high now, and we're seeing people that are in their 40s and 50s coming down with these symptoms. This is not a coincidence, guys. This is why I tell everybody, the omega-3 fats, the MCT oil, the coconut oil that we have, the vascular relaxant, if you're trying to get your cholesterol under control, the cholesterol X, the super potent E, these are all very, very effective supplements that can help get your cholesterol in a healthy range. But I'm getting so many emails, as usual, every week on people that are trying to get off statins and figure out what's going on and why they feel so bad. And then when I saw this Daily Mail article today, Deb, it just proved my point even further, that it increases your chance of type 2 diabetes by 30% by being on these statins. To me, the risk is not worth lowering your cholesterol that little bit artificially from these drugs. It's much easier to do it a natural way and skip all the nasty side effects.
Well, the adult onset diabetes is actually very easy to correct through nutritional supplementation and dietary change.
Yeah.
We've talked about this repeatedly on the show. So if you've got a problem with irregular blood sugar patterns, you know, give us a call at the office. We'll be more than happy to tell you how to do a certain protocol as far as dietary supplements and on the diet. Now, remember, just doing the supplements by themselves with adult onset diabetes is not going to work. In most cases, it's not. If you're running elevated blood sugar, you've got to change your diet. You can't go out and drink six sodas a day with all that high fructose corn syrup and not wonder, you know, why your blood sugar is sky high, even taking supplements. It doesn't work. You can't be slamming 18 cups of coffee a day and wondering why your blood sugar is sky high. You can't be living on white bread and white potatoes and just all kinds of nonsense and sugar and wondering why your blood sugar is high if you're taking supplements. They're designed to work synergistically together. When you eat the right foods and take the right supplements, then your blood sugar gets back to a really natural phase really, really fast. I've seen it over and over and over again. Now, what's interesting, Austin, because you're at the office now in my seat that I used to have as far as me taking all the phone calls, and I had so many, you know, clients coming in back in the 80s, sometimes 40 a day. I've talked to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You're finally beginning to realize what a true crisis that blood sugar is as far as adult onset diabetes is in the United States. You're starting to understand now what a true crisis senile dementia is and what a true crisis people are having with Prozac and Zoloft and all these different types of depressants that people are taking. And until you get in that seat and you start talking to these people that have so many health problems because of the drugs themselves that they're taking, you don't realize it's that bad. You just don't have it. You don't realize it's that bad. It's like this. Like no. I said last Sunday, I was at the Free Will Baptist Church up here in Hayesville, and I ended up, you know, being in a, you know, doing a bunch of prayer before church started, and they were telling us all the people that were in their 40s and 50s in the area that are coming down with senile dementia. Guys, this is all part of the plan. If you can make everybody a victim in society, get them on drugs, get them sick, get them having a disease, what ends up happening is they don't have any indication of wanting to rebel. It's one of the perfect Cloward Piven strategies to make everybody a victim. And John Rappaport said that so succinctly on our show last year, Austin. If you can make everybody have a victim status, then they don't want to fight. All they want to make sure is the government gives them the free drugs and free medication every year. Same thing. If you make everybody addicted to opiates, that's such a strong addiction that you don't want to fight. You just want to get your opiates. You don't care what the government does as long as they give you the opiates. You don't care what anybody does as long as you get your opiates. And that, quite frankly, is the truth. And so now we have tens of millions of people in the U.S. addicted to opiates, tens of millions of people addicted to tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. We've got hundreds of millions of people with elevated blood sugar and elevated cholesterol in the United States, according to their research. Now they're trying to put everybody on statin drugs. And if you want to bring your cholesterol down, you can use our sustained release niacin. Does a great job on that. You can change your diet. You can start drinking more water. You start taking cod liver oil. There's all kinds of natural things you can do to get cholesterol down. If you want to get triglycerides down, you got to cut out the juices and the fruit juices and the starches. And it works great. Your triglycerides stay low. Your blood pressure stays low. Everything stays low and you're healthy. If you got a problem with high blood pressure, our HGH stimulate does a great job on that as far as helping to maintain healthy blood pressure, and using a little mini round trampoline will do great for most people. So there's all kinds of natural things you can do. But since we're talking about Prozac, this is an interesting article. I want to pull it up. It's from the Daily Mail. And it says, Prozac in seawater. This is sounds like some kind of farce, but it's not. This is actually a true story. Prozac in seawater coming through the waste and the sewage and the water going into the Gulf of Mexico, et cetera. And there's, by the way, there's a huge dead zone now outside where the Gulf of Mexico and the Mississippi River meet. I mean, literally, you have hundreds of square miles with no living things in the water. But Prozac in seawater is actually causing crabs to lose inhibitions and take dangerous risks. And in some cases, believe people actually committing suicide, which wouldn't surprise me. Prozac is a drug used to treat depression and other mental health disorders. Oregon shore crabs exposed to the drug exhibit riskier behaviors. The behaviors include more foraging, making it easy for predators to catch them. And the study sheds light on how pharmaceuticals affect animal behavior and survival. Crabs exposed to Prozac, a drug used to treat depression, causes a change. In a study, they found in Oregon that it makes it easier for predators to catch them. The study is important because it sheds light on how these are changing animal behavior. This is from the Portland State University, so it's not some weird study that was done by some person who didn't know what they were doing. The chemicals end up in the water after they're flushed from homes or medical facilities, and they go into sewage systems, eventually making their way into the ocean. So the Oregon professors studied the research to find out what happened in Oregon, and they found traces of fluorexine, the active ingredient in Prozac, which, by the way, is fluorine, or a derivative of fluorine. I'm going to say that again because a lot of people don't get this. Fluorexine, it's fluoxetint, and it's the same active ingredient that you get in fluoride. It's the same active ingredient you get in sarin nerve gas with a few of the molecular changes made. So fluoride is what the active ingredient in sarin nerve gas. Fluoride is the active ingredient in Prozac. People need to understand that. The Oregon crab forages mostly at night, primarily eating algae, but also other carrion and meat if it's available. It lives most of the time beneath rocks. But when they start getting this fluoride into them, they end up coming out in the middle of the day, and predators are basically wiping them out. So you think, well, how does that compare to human beings? Well, same thing. Fluoride is a very interesting drug in that it actually had, not fluoride, but the Prozac, which has got the fluorine in it. It basically causes children to commit suicide. It actually releases and stops these inhibitions, and they kill themselves. That's why it carries a black box warning for children that it may increase the risks of suicide in these kids. So fluoride, Prozac, all these different things are all linked together through fluorine, which is the same stuff they put in your water, the same stuff they put in your toothpaste, the same stuff they put in your mouthwash, the same stuff they rinse your teeth with when you go to the dentist's office. I had a guy, a friend of mine up here, got his teeth cleaned today, and I told him, I said, when they ask you if you want to have a fluoride treatment, tell them, no, thank you, you enjoy the IQ points that you've been given, so you don't want to lose any. So guys, this fluorine, and now guys, I got to give it to the German chemists when they developed this stuff back in the 20s and the 30s. It was basically put together for pesticides. And they started realizing it did all kinds of stuff to humans. And that's why they started putting it into the concentration camp water supplies. And I'm not giving them the credit from a, hey, way to go, boys. I'm giving them the credit of, well, gosh, I wish you guys hadn't done this. And when they went to Dachau and they found the records of the fluorine being put into the water, the fluoride, they started putting fluoride into our water supply the following year in the United States under the guise of stopping mental cavities, their dental cavities, which is a complete lie. It doesn't do that, but it does cause a massive drop in IQ scores, and it does have all kinds of horrible side effects, including being used for rat poison. I mean, it's a horrible product, Austin, so don't let fluoride get in your system. What's your next story, bud?
No, you're absolutely right about that. Well, another aspect, too, since we're on the topic of senile dementia and all this stuff now, another article came out from Dr. Johansson, and he went into detail again on the advent of the 5G technology and its related smart devices and the potential disease-causing effects that are escalating at ridiculous rates now. And if anybody has noticed that, everything, like Dad was just saying, from the diabetes to the dementia to the heart disease to the, I mean, all these issues all across the board have been skyrocketing. And he said, to make matters worse, these health risks are being systematically downplayed and ignored by the greedy telecommunications industry officials, the health authorities, and the politicians alike. He goes on to talk about the invisible microwave radiation that passes through our body and how its chronic stress effect can lead to grave consequences, including the development of cancer, dementia, plus a variety of neurological and immune-related disorders. He says that the current rise in various cancers, allergies, and asthma that plague modern society can be directly linked to the increased deployment and use of wireless devices throughout the 20th and 21st century. Now, one thing about that he doesn't say there is he doesn't add in the massive increase in vaccine schedule and also the GMO and heavy use of glyphosate over the last 15 to 20 years. He said, now imagine the potential for health threats that will be created by the pending 5G network. What will necessitate the building of hundreds of thousands of new cell towers? He has long maintained that EMF pollution causes cellular changes. In addition, he notes that microwaves can cause toxins to cross the blood-brain barrier and initiate Alzheimer's disease and dementia, thereby creating the perfect storm for a premature, senile population with the level of toxic elements that we're being exposed to, including glyphosate right now, in conjunction with the heavy microwave energy that we're being exposed to. A shocking new study published in the international peer-reviewed journal Dose Response demonstrated that bacteria exposed to mobile phone and Wi-Fi radiation turn resistant to antibiotics. Dr. Johansson warns that this phenomenon also can exacerbate the growing problem of antibiotic resistance on top of everything else, which has already been deemed a global health crisis by the World Health Organization. So what we're seeing here, guys, is it's a kind of a multi-tiered approach from what we see. The aluminum exposure from the deodorants, the aluminum cans, that can get cut out of your system. That's one aspect right there. The glyphosate, that is another aspect. The GMO foods, the huge amount of pesticides and herbicides they're using on these plants, go organic. That's another aspect you can do. The microwave energy, try to reduce as much as you can. Obviously, we're exposed to this stuff way too much, but reduce it as much as you can. And Dad and I always say, unplug your Wi-Fi stuff at night. Don't sleep with your phone by your bed. Don't sleep with your Wi-Fi or internet plugged on at all. I unplug mine from the wall when I go to bed at night. Every single night when I go to bed, it goes unplugged. Those are a few things right there, including don't get vaccinated with the aluminum dose garbage that they're putting out there on the market now. So those are 3 to 4 tips right off the top of my head that can really help prevent a lot of this stuff, at least from getting worse in you or your family or your older family that may be experiencing some of these side effects. But I think we're kind of seeing the pattern with this, Dad, is not only are we seeing the vaccines with the aluminum from the chemtrails and the GMOs, and we're seeing this microwave radiation now, and now they want to do the 5G, which will literally put cell phone towers essentially on almost like every single telephone pole in every town. This is kind of something that's going together. So we kind of have to do the best we can to prevent a lot of this stuff. And in addition, adding in the proper supplements like the magnesium brain food, the turmeric, the super brain complete, good supplements that are really going to boost cognitive functioning and keep the mental acuity as high as possible. Because the last thing we need right now is a good, strong, older generation that's really constitutional minded and patriotic to start forgetting what's going on. That's the last thing we need right now. We need everybody to be as alert and as strong as physically possible, Dad.
Wow, Austin, you're absolutely right, because it's my organization, it's my group, 50 plus,
yeah,
that basically are the ones that are the spearhead of what's happening right now as far as the resistance. You know, Alex,
yep,
Jones is still young, and it's guys like you, 29 years old, that are carrying the baton for the rest of us, because we'll be passing it on to you. But you're right, there are millions and millions of patriots at the age of 50 and above that are basically going to be suffering from these horrible diseases, because this is what they intend for all of us. And I hate to sound that blasé about it, but that's their intention. That's what they want to do. They want to force this upon all of us. That's why it's so important to me, guys, that you think about what you're eating, that you stay off of Prozac, you stay off of, you know, fluoride compounds like that, you stay out of fluoride out of your water, that you don't eat margarines or trans fats, that you stay away from pork and shellfish and hydrogenated oils and the junk food, the soy, all of the things that we've talked on the show so much. Please eat non-GMO foods. If you can't buy organic, get non-GMO. Stay away from all of these crossing of the hybrid seeds. The Bible says not to mingle the seeds. It says it in the Old Testament. And yet we were taught to do this by the fallen angels. They taught us on purpose the genetic modification of fruits and vegetables that God told us not to do, because he made it right to start with. And Lucifer's bunch got in and started telling us how to do it wrong. And people fell into that. That's where we have this Monsanto stuff doing all of this right now. But you're right, Austin, because I remember when I first started talking to you about cell phones years ago, and same thing with immunizations when you were younger, you were kind of like, well, come on, Dad, it can't be that bad. And the more you dig into it, the more you read, the more you realize it's really that bad. It really is awful.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick thing, since we're talking a lot about health today, let's look at vitamin D, because we're coming up to a dark part of the year again, especially with the chemtrails and the clouds. Let's talk about vitamin D deficiency and 6 signs that you may actually miss if you're having health problems. Number one, if you're getting chronic frequent infections, vitamin D is critical to the immune system and to the macrophages. They can't work without vitamin D. Vitamin D is essential to the function of 2 essential parts of the immune system, the adaptive and what's also called the innate immunity. Adaptive immunity is that which remembers the viruses that you've had, for example, like chickenpox, and assures them that you don't get them again. Your innate immunity system is present in places like inside your nose, and there is a guard against everyday infections, but also essential, and both need adequate levels of vitamin D to function. Now, what's interesting about this is, when you don't have enough vitamin D, you have massive increases of cancer, particularly colorectal, breast, pancreatic, and prostate cancers. Now, one of the things is we're talking about the nose. A lot of people get a lot of junk in their noses, especially in the wintertime when people are burning fires and you know, smokestacks are going off everywhere and the air is heavy, and you clean out your nose. Well, when you clean out your nose, make sure you always use a handkerchief. That's very important. Don't use a tissue, because tissues will break off and leave residue on the inside of your nose. You don't want the Kleenex particles inside of your nose, number one. So use like a cotton handkerchief. And number two, this is so important, and I do this all of the time, and I've stayed so healthy since I started doing that. We've got some colloidal silver 500 at the office. It's phenomenal. And what I do about twice a day is I will take a Q-tip, and I will swab the inside of my nose out, and I will basically stop any infections or anything that have gotten into my nose, especially when someone's sick in the house, immediately. It stops it instantaneously, because remember, most colds are what they call basically they're rhino infections through the nose, and then they come into your body that way. If you keep your nose swabbed out with colloidal silver, nothing can grow in a guide. You're not going to get a bunch of bacteria growing in your nose that'll be able to inoculate your whole system. And I do that on an ongoing basis. And everybody laughed at me, the house, Austin. And then a couple months ago, remember, everybody got sick. Every single person got sick. Everybody got sick. Hunter, everybody. Savannah, all the kids. You did, Atlanta did, Sharon did. Everybody got sick but me. And I said, okay, guys, you guys go ahead and do what you want to do, but I'm going to keep doing this because you guys are going to be sneezing around me and all this other kind of stuff. I'm going to keep my nose cleaned out. And I did it, and I haven't had a problem with colds or a rhino infection since then. So, I mean, and that's been, it's been a long, long time since I've had those. Number two, if you're depressed, especially in winter, vitamin D3 is understood to play a key role in seasonal affective disorder. It's so important. It's one of the primary things that you can do to get rid of depression. It's one of the easiest things you can do. Now, another thing I need to share with you. I like our D3K2. You only have to take like three of those a week because they're 10,000 IU. I don't take the vitamin D by itself. Now, the reason we sell a 5,000 IU D by itself is some people just want that product. And we've told them the other one's better. That make a difference. That's the one they want. So we said, okay, it's better you get vitamin D than not get vitamin D. Another thing if vitamin D causes. If you're vitamin D deficient, you can be tired all the time. I mean, vitamin D is essential for converting food into energy. If you're always tired, a lack of vitamin D could mean you're not assimilating nutrients from your food, and your body's cellular ability to make energy from what you eat is compromised thanks to a lack of the vitamin D. You have to have vitamin D to have energy. If you've got pains or you have weak joints or more joint pains or weak bones, it's essential to help regulate calcium and phosphate levels in the body, giving it a key role in the functioning of joints, muscle, teeth, and adequate levels help ward off soft bones and osteoporosis. Yesterday, Austin, I didn't tell you this. This is crazy. Right before the show, and your mom would get mad at me if I told you this, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. Your mom, right before the show, was walking out of a shop here in Hayesville and tripped and fell down, landed on her knees, came forward, her head hit the doggone glass door, almost broke the glass in the door, skinned up both of her knees, and this morning I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to be really, really sore. Nope. She's 60 years old, but her bones are so strong, nothing was broken, nothing was damaged, because we both take vitamin D all of the time. And so I'm just glad, we thank God this morning, we prayed and thank God this morning that she was protected. By the way, your muscles could start hurting if you don't have enough vitamin D. Vitamin D supports muscle function because the receptors for it are located all over the body, including in the muscles, and having lots of general muscle aches is often the first telltale sign of a deficiency. Vitamin D enters the muscles when it is metabolized, enhancing muscle contractions, which are vital for preventing falls and for building muscle strength and bones through exercise. In fact, the researchers have found links between chronic pain that don't even respond to treatment, that don't respond to treatment, and vitamin D helps completely stop it. It's very, very important. If you're elderly, or if you're housebound, or you're in a care system, like a nursing home, if you're an office worker who doesn't get outside much, spends all day inside, don't get vitamin D for your sunshine, people who basically cover up for religious purposes, people who work night shifts or sleep during the day, anyone whose lifestyle prevents them from getting outside regularly needs to be on vitamin D. Now, your levels need to be around 60 to 80 if you get a blood test on it. Anything more than that, you don't need. Anything less than that, you need to increase your dosing. What I do with my vitamin D levels is I have my blood tested about every year and a half to make sure I'm getting enough vitamin D. And I found that three of the 10,000 IU capsules a week is enough to keep me at a good level. Now, if I start getting sick or start coming down with something, I can feel something on my body trying to attack me, I may take 100,000 IUs for a day, which is okay, but not for a long period of time. So you can do it occasionally like that because it really gives your immune system a big boost. Plus, you can increase the potassium iodine, 12.5 milligrams a day. You can increase that if you start feeling something coming on you. And you can take the astragalus, which is phenomenal for what it does as far as starting a sore throat. It'll knock it out almost immediately without you getting a cold. So there's all kinds of natural things that you can do from a health standpoint. But vitamin D, guys, is absolutely essential. You've got to have it every single day. What do you think, son?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's no question about it as far as the D, and especially for people that live up in the hazier states as far as that have overcast all the time. I was so shocked about that when I went up to D.C. and Maryland 2 weeks ago. You know, we got up there. I noticed it was significantly cooler. It was like 64 when I got up there. It was overcast. And I asked one of the people there, I was like, hey, man, I said, when's the sun supposed to come out today? And they kind of laughed at me, and they're like, it doesn't, it's not. And I said, what do you mean? And they're like, it's kind of like this a lot. And they're just like, the sun will come out sometimes. It may come through, you know, sometime in the afternoon this weekend or next week. I said, well, I mean, we get this in Florida all the time. It'll get hazy and it'll rain, and then it's like, you know, an hour later, it's sunny again usually. And they're like, yeah, this isn't Florida, bud. This is D.C. and Maryland. And I said, oh. You got to understand that if you're not in getting adequate amount of sunshine, your body needs a lot of vitamin D. So, I mean, the 10,000 K2 for some people that I know, and again, this is people that monitor their D3 levels, that are up in some of the northern states that are overcast, or like Washington State, stuff like that, they'll take sometimes two of those a day during the winter, and they still have very healthy D3 blood levels. But again, if you're going to start taking high doses of it, you need to make sure you get your blood levels checked occasionally. Also, too, the vitamin C is such an important aspect. Another research study, again, and I feel like we talk about vitamin C all the time, but it's getting so much traction now, even in some of the mainstream media they're starting to report on. As we just talked about the other day, when they coupled it with antibiotics, they found that intravenous vitamin C and antibiotics had a synergistic approach to actually kill off cancer. Now, another study conducted at the University of Texas Southeastern Medical Center, published in the peer-reviewed journal Nature, researchers found that vitamin C directly helped to slow the development of leukemia by reactivating an enzyme that stops leukemia cells from growing and spreading. The new research helps to reveal the nuts and bolts of the way the vitamin C assists the function of stem cells, which need large amounts of vitamin C to function properly. The researchers reported that when stem cells are depleted of vitamin C, their epigenome, the cellular system that controls which genes are turned on or off, is damaged, thereby impairing the stem cell function and raising the risk of leukemia. They went on to say, in addition, deficiencies in vitamin C will also limit levels of TET2, which this is a enzyme that helps stem cells do what they're designed to do, and that's essentially mature, make white blood cells, and then die off. So they said optimal levels of vitamin C reactivates this gene and the enzyme it produces, thereby slowing the spread of leukemia. So every time you turn around, there's another benefit of vitamin C, but yet a lot of the mainstream medicine continues to ignore vitamin C therapy and the fact of emerging studies. The other research we talked about before showed that high-dose vitamin C decreased inflammation in cancer patients. Yet another research study showed that vitamin C outperformed an FDA-approved clinical drug along with other various experimental medications. Another clinical study showed that high-dose vitamin C improved the quality of life in cancer patients while suppressing symptoms of fatigue, nausea, vomiting, pain, and appetite loss. Other animal studies have shown that high doses of vitamin C treatment block tumor growth in pancreatic, liver, prostate, and ovarian cancers. The list goes on and on and on, guys. So if you really are on a budget and you're trying to really stay healthy and you're just, you know, I can only spend X amount of money on supplements, this and that, the vitamin C, the D3, and the ultimate multiple would be my key ones that you would stick with. If you want to go and add some astragalus, which is incredible, or some of the other ones, those are really good ones to add in. But as far as a basic stack, the vitamin C, the vitamin D, and the ultimate multiple, hence why we put together the basic healthy lifestyle kit, which has those products in it, and also the B complex and the Norwegian omega-3. And we even discounted that kit for you guys in the basic healthy lifestyle kit to make sure that it was incredibly affordable with all those products, because we know how important they are. But guys, the vitamin C and the D3 is not something you want to skimp on, especially in the fall winter areas where it gets colder, more people are getting sick, and of course when they start the flu epidemic again by using the flu vaccines to start those. If you guys notice, that happens every single year. As soon as everybody gets their flu vaccines, flu season starts, just coincidentally enough. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But yeah, Dad, vitamin C and D3, they're definitely staples every day in my supplement stack.
Well, the Gerson Cancer Research Center back in the 20s, I've been talking like the 1920s, like 100 years ago, they said that they could cure leukemia with vitamin C intravenously. And they said that they said that leukemia was a subscurvy clinical diagnosis. That's all leukemia was, and that they could cure literally 100% of the cases of people who came in with leukemia by giving them intravenous vitamin C. Now, whether or not those statistics are right, 100% or not, I have no idea. But all I know is this. I know that vitamin C is one of those integral things that Katie, the lady who's Dave Hodges' co-host, and several people we know who've had cancer, they use 2 vitamin C intravenous, basically by vitamin C, 50,000 milligrams twice a week intravenously. That converts to hydrogen peroxide in the body, and it oxygenates the tissues, and it kills cancer cells, period. And if you combine that with turmeric, you combine that with potassium iodide, you combine that with vitamin D3, you combine that with those types of products along with vitamin E and other antioxidants, you've got an incredible stack against fighting diseases of the immune system. And I've seen it over and over and over that those types of protocols work. Now, are they going to be something that your medical doctor is going to promote? No, probably not. You know, probably 95% of the medical doctors don't have any idea what you're talking about when you talk about this kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, vitamin C is super important. Remember when we had that one doctor on from California, I forgot it, Rowan, who was on the show with us last year, and he talked about using ozone therapy, which is an infusion of oxygen into the tissues. Then he was able to cure Ebola with it. And he actually went over there to Africa and worked with the people, and everybody he gave this treatment to got cured. Same thing the vitamin C does. When you put the vitamin C in it, creates that hydrogen peroxide that basically oxygenates the tissue and kills everything. So now they're making vitamin C intravenously very difficult to get. You have to go to a compounding pharmacy now to get it because they've made it pretty much illegal as far as being manufactured to be distributed among medical doctors because they were using it to treat too many different types of diseases. Now, the sad part about this is it's a natural product. You know, they're not going to make money on it like they would chemotherapy and radiation and everything else, so they don't want you using it. And they say, well, that can't be true, Ted. Doggone it all. I don't want to believe that one either, but that's just the way they are. You know, and I'm not saying they're all like that, because probably 10% of the medical doctors and medical professionals really care about people and getting people cured. The guys, I was in college with these guys, a bunch of them. A lot of these guys are just mercenary, and they're all about the money, and they don't care about helping people. They don't care. There was one guy I was talking to, a medical doctor that I know in Austin, and every time he would turn off the life support to somebody when their insurance would run out, I kid you not, he would go out into the hallway and put a mark on the radiator heater in the hallway so he could count his death tolls on how many people he had killed by turning off their ventilators. Guys, you know, I don't talk about this stuff because it's too weird, all right? But that's what he would do. He'd brag about how many people he'd killed that week. I mean, that was his attitude. Once their insurance ran out, they were done with them. They wanted to get them out of the hospital, get rid of them, because they didn't want to have to keep them on life support or keep them there and not get paid. And this guy specialized in turning off ventilators and stuff. And there are other doctors out there, when they have to turn a ventilator off, they literally get into tears and, you know, almost start weeping because they don't want to do that because they've taken an oath to protect lives. There are other doctors who go out and they'll do cardiovascular bypass surgery on people who don't even need it because they get paid their surgical fee. Or they'll go out and they'll treat people for cancer who don't have cancer because they want to get paid for their extra money. You guys think I'm kidding? I'm not. This is just the way these guys are. It's some of them, not all of them. And then you got the other guys that, again, who really, really care, and you start showing them the healthy way of doing things, and they say, wow, I want to learn how to do that for my own patients. Guys, this is why it's so important that when you work with a medical doctor in your area who's health-oriented. Don't go to a doctor who smokes 2 packs of cigarettes a day, number one. Don't do that. Just don't go. Don't go to a doctor who says they're health-oriented who weighs 300 pounds more than they're supposed to weigh. Don't do that. And just don't do that. Or if you do that, don't take any kind of lifestyle advice from them. Okay? They're not living their own practice. They're not preaching what they teach other people to do. By the way, bubonic plague is continuing to get worse in Madagascar, and I want to talk about this as far as my health standpoint. The hospitals there are on high alert, and now they're saying that no one is safe from the black plague. Close to 100 people have been killed so far, and that's just the numbers we can get that are being told to us. We have no idea. Doctors are warning that it will be continuing to spread and worsen, telling the folks in Madagascar no one is safe. It reminds me a lot of what they've done with the weaponization of Ebola. Health officials say the disease, which contributed to deaths of more than 50 million people in Europe, so half the population of Europe died, has spread from rural areas to the more urban areas that are not usually affected. Hundreds of cases are reported on the tropical island every year, but experts are warning this epidemic is much more dangerous than in previous years, which tells me that it's been weaponized. The boys at Fort Detrick have probably continued to work on this, and they had to do a beta test, and they had to find out what type of death rate they were going to get. And you say, well, they wouldn't test human beings. What do you think chemtrails are, guys? The reason they can do it legally in the United States and all over the world, especially in the U.S., it's a law that if they're doing it for testing, they can do it on the general population. But if they can't, if they find out it's not healthy after they get done with the testing, they can't roll it out and tell us about it. That's what chemtrails are all about. I mean, they've sprayed people with all kinds of bacterium. We talked about this on the show repeatedly. They've infected people with syphilis. They've done it all on purpose. They've exposed them to the radiation to see what would happen. They like to test things on human beings. We like to complain and say that the Nazis shouldn't have done this in their concentration camps, and certainly they should not have done that. It was absolutely horrible what they did. Guys, is it any difference what the United States government has done and the stuff they've sprayed on their own population to see what's going on? You get a bunch of sickos involved running the doggone countries, you can pretty much guarantee one thing, they're going to be doing no good. I guarantee it, son. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. Definitely some pretty weird stuff going on. Also, as well, I wanted to bring this up because this just got released, and it goes to show you this whole story is nothing that they ever told us. The FBI just released today, the records vault, it released the entire investigation into the December 14th Sandy Hook shooting. Apparently, it was released as part of a Freedom of Information Act request. As 1,500 pages, including interviews with unknown individuals, official state reports, numerous subpoenas, all this stuff. Almost the entire record is redacted. I've been going through this for like 30 minutes today, guys. You can go look it up online. I mean literally entire pages, full pages, not a single letter on them, fully redacted all the way down. Next page, fully redacted all the way down. And so-and-so was involved with redacted. And this redacted. And this redacted. This caused redacted. I mean, it's literally almost unreadable. You can't even read majority of it except for the erroneous stuff that doesn't even provide any information at all. 1,500 pages of this, guys. About 80 to 90% of it is fully redacted. This shows you right here that, you guys think about this. There's no terroristic link to this. This wasn't involving a pending investigation. This wasn't involving ISIS. This wasn't involving the CIA, whether we know of. There's no reason to redact hardly any of this stuff. It's a closed investigation. It's over with now. Supposedly, everybody got shot. Everybody died. He shot himself. Case closed. Over with. It's been, what, 5 years now almost since it happened. Why in the world is 90% of this 1,500-page document redacted that they finally had to release under the Freedom of Information Act, Dad? But I just saw this today. And I want to make sure we touch base on that because that just goes to show you there is a significant amount of hiding that they're trying to do with that whole situation. Whether or not you believe the whole story, whether or not you believe it was set up, whether or not you believe it was a false flag or it was a hoax, it doesn't matter. There is no doubt about it now. You look at this 1,500-page redacted Freedom of Information Act report from the FBI, you cannot have any type of mental acuity and not at least think there is something significant being hidden behind that entire just event that happened up there, Dad. This is bizarre when I was going through it, man.
Well, the only way they can redact it like that, it has to be some kind of national security thing. That's the only way they can do that. Otherwise,
that's what
they
I
can't
thought.
Justify. Yeah, and they can't just redact studies and stuff. They can't do it. So they're basically covering up what they did. And so they're not going to let it. The same thing will happen when we get the report from the Pulse nightclub, if we ever see that in Orlando. It'll all be redacted,
yeah.
Too. Because they're not going to tell us what they did. Because they're not going to change the story. You know, they don't want to change the story. That guy wrote the book who was that professor, and he got kicked out of the school for doing it. That's the book you need to read. By the way, 90% of television is controlled by just six giant corporations. Wow. We've talked about this before. On the average, Americans spend about 150 hours a month watching TV. It's called programming for a reason, by the way. They program you. If you allow anyone to pour ideas, information into your mind for 5 hours a day, it's going to change how you look at reality. And everyone has an agenda, and every single news program, television show, and movie is trying to alter your societal views. Sadly, our society has become completely addicted to media, and the mainstream media is completely dominated by the corporations, the elite, who run the planet. In fact, 90% of the programming that becomes your television is controlled by six gigantic media corporations, which are all controlled through the Sabbatean Zionist networks. If you control what people think, then you can control society. And through their vast media empires, the elite are able to shape how we think into a frightening degree. I mean, just think about it. What do we talk about with our family, our friends, and our coworkers? To a large extent, those conversations are about the movies, television shows, and something that we just saw in the news or a sporting event that just took place. The reason we talk about certain things is because the mainstream media gives those things attention. And other things are ignored because the mainstream media does not make them seem to be important. The mainstream media literally sets the agenda for our society. It would be difficult to overstate the power that is in their hands. Comcast, NBC, Telemundo. This is owned by Comcast. NBC, Telemundo, Universal Pictures, Focus Features, USA Network, Bravo, CNBC, The Weather Channel. This goes on. The Golf Channel, The Walt Disney Company. These are all Sabbatean companies, by the way. ABC, Television Network, ESPN, Disney Channel, A&E, Marvel Entertainment, Walt Disney Pictures, Pixar, Disney Consumer Products, Disney Records, Touchstone Pictures, The News Corporation, Fox, Fox News Channel, Fox, National Geographic, FXX, Smart Money, Harper's, Time Warner, CNN, HBO, Cinemax, Cartoon Network, Turner's classic movies, via Viacom, MTV, Nickelodeon, VH1, Comedy Central, CBS Corporation, CBS Television Network, Showtime, Simon & Schuster, the book publishing company, all of this stuff owned by the international banking through banker corporations through their corporate directorships, interlocking corporate directorships, or stock purchases, or straight up ownership of the corporations themselves. I mean, so they get to tell us what to believe and what not to believe. Overall, the top 10 publishers together owning around 60 news sites account for 47% of online traffic to news content last year, with the next biggest 140 publishers accounting for most of the other half. I mean, this is what we're being done. This is what has been done to us, and we have been programmed by the international banking community, who's able to print money out of nothing, buy whatever they want to with this money they printed out of nothing, and own the tangible assets, and continue to program their agenda of turning everything upside down that God has made, to make everything that is good evil, everything that is evil good, to change everything, to tell your children when they're 5 years old that transgenders are good, that dressing a little boy like a little girl is good, and that gender is fluid, and you can be a little boy today and a little girl tomorrow, so they can turn everything upside down that God has made to be pure and to be made holy. Guys, this is who these guys are. This is what they do. This is our primary battle against these guys, because these are the guys who own a lot of these. Man, if you remember the old Scofield Bible, which really, really promoted the rapture and a lot of other things, it was all done in the 1850s. Which were to take the power from the pulpit away and to make Christians think that they would never have to go through something bad in the United States, that they would be raptured before anything ever happened to them, which a lot of Christians still believe today, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to it as well. And I mean, and the thing that we've been seeing going on with Hollywood right now, I didn't get to talk about this article yesterday, but I thought it was so intriguing to me how they're letting all these people come out against Weinstein and all this stuff, and now Corey Feldman, who started tweeting the end of last week how he essentially had plans and was working on to expose all these pedophiles, even the ones that had molested him and his friends, he then was arrested on Saturday at his own music concert that he was basically going to play for on unspecified drug charges, according to the Richland Parish Sheriff's Office. This is interesting. The Goonie star and his band was scheduled to play that night at the Live Oaks Bar and Ballroom, but he was arrested right before the show. They're not releasing anything as far as what they arrested him for, essentially. The timing of Feldman's arrest is very interesting, considering his recent remarks about Hollywood. He tweeted on a Thursday night, which this was 2 days before he was arrested, he said, "I will not be going on a talk show to disclose names of my abuser, anything like that, so please stop asking me to do so right now. This is not about fear of being sued. That's a real possibility, but the bigger reason is for the safety for my family. That said, I am working on a plan that may be a way forward to shed some light on the situation. If I can figure out a way to get actual justice while not risking my safety and well-being, you will know when the time comes. As for now, I'm glad people are talking, and I pray that others come forward. Nobody should live their lives in fear except for those who committed these heinous crimes to us in the first place. I have faith God will see this through." And of course, he was arrested a little more than a day later. I don't know if the charges were set up. I have no idea. I wasn't there involved in it. But I do know this seems to be very strange timing, is the fact that he's brought this up numerous times of what was going on and was talking about now naming names of the people that did all this stuff to him. And now all of a sudden he's arrested a day later on essentially drug charges. That I thought that was very weirdly timed.
Well, you know, we talked about this a little bit the other day, and you're exactly right, Austin. I mean, Corey was massively sexually abused, you know, back when he was a young child in Hollywood. And what they do with a lot of these young actors, gosh, I hate talking about this stuff. It's like every time I talk about it, I feel like I need to get in the shower. Every time they bring these kids in and they sodomize them and they basically rape them, and their parents a lot of times even know about it because they're going to make these kids famous. Once the kids get older, they're not cute anymore. I'm going to say that again. The kids aren't cute anymore, so they don't want to pass them around anymore. They basically, their Hollywood careers come to an end. Or if they ever speak about anything that's happened to them, their Hollywood careers come to an end. I remember years ago, we went on a tour of homes in Orlando just for fun. And one of the homes that we went to was the home of Lou Pearlman. It was on the market for sale. He's the one who had started the Backstreet Boys. And he had basically forced all of these kids in the beginning that he was interviewing into compromising situations. I'm not going to say anything else. It's too disgusting. And now that he fled overseas, he's dead now. He finally ended up in prison. And this is what they do in Hollywood. You remember the one guy, Clive Davis, who does the American Idol and a lot of other shows, who signs a lot of these record contracts for a lot of these kids who win these contests. You know, Clive Davis is a known homosexual in D.C. or in L.A. He says he's bisexual. But guys, here's the thing: this is all a bunch of sick stuff. And again, they're trying to do this agenda. A few years ago, we were watching that one show, The Voice, you know, with Blake Shelton. And I don't watch it anymore because Miley Cyrus is on it now, and I refuse to watch anything that sicko's involved in. I refuse to. And you guys, if you're watching that, you need to turn it off, in my opinion, because you don't need to support her being on that show. And Blake Shelton was basically telling this guy, I think his name was Zach Sebo. I think that was his name. And he said he was like a young Elvis Presley. He was macho. He was a football player. He was like 16 years old. Could sing, could dance. I mean, incredible talent. Best talent they had there the whole year. And Blake told him, you know, you're probably going to win the show. And all of a sudden, he didn't even make the finals. The final show, like the top four or five, doesn't even make it. He's cut loose. And I thought, I wonder why. Here he is, a kid who's macho, who's a football player, who's a great singer. But they don't want that anymore, do they, guys? They don't want another Elvis Presley. They don't want another Frank Sinatra or another Dean Martin or somebody who's a macho guy who can sing like Bing Crosby. They don't want that. They want all these little high-pitched little boys that act like a bunch of sissy girls up there singing. And sure enough, the guy who won it that year, he ended up being extremely effeminate. The guy, I think, he was also taken into one of the finals. He was openly gay. So that's the agenda they're pushing. And this is what I talked about earlier. This is what the broadcast media does. They program the American population to think that all of this stuff's okay, and it's not. Another thing, here in North Carolina, this is interesting. This is an article by Franklin Graham. He goes, betrayed, governor's reversal ban on men and women's bathroom. They banned that. They changed that back around. But the governor now, Democratic Roy, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, super liberal, has completed the reversal of state legislation that barred men from women's public bathrooms and showers. Now the women and the men can go to take showers together. The move is drawing a warning from one of the state's most prominent personalities, Franklin Graham. The CEO and president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse commented Monday via Facebook after Cooper signed an executive order allowing people to use facilities according to their gender identity rather than their biological sex. North Carolinians have been betrayed by Governor Roy Cooper. The people of the state are now going to be exposed to pedophiles and sexually perverted men in women's public restrooms. He's absolutely and totally right. I remember this is something that happened, and I've mentioned this to you once before last year, but I'll mention it to you again. I remember we used to have the weight room at Florida State University back in the 70s. Was in Tully Gym in the men's locker room, and it was the only weight room on campus. And this is, I mean, you know, there was a chain link fence between the weight room and the locker room. I mean, there was, it's just chain link, you see right through it, to keep people out of the weight room. You know, after hours, you couldn't train. And I remember a bunch of women got really mad and started pitching fits that they wanted to be able to use the men's weight room in the men's locker room with naked men taking showers. And they told them they could do it. They said, okay, you can do it. This is 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And sure enough, I'm in there one day just walking to the shower, and there's this woman just standing there staring at me. And I thought, well, this is odd. This is very odd. And they told us that was going to happen. But that was a fad. It lasted for a few weeks. And then finally, the women finally didn't want to do that anymore. So they quit doing that. And then they started demanding they had their own workout area, which they opened up for them, which they did. But I thought it was interesting. Even back in the 70s, this was an issue, Austin. Now here we have a governor of the state of North Carolina decide he's going to allow gay guys and transgender guys and any guy who basically identifies himself as a woman to step into a shower, into a work area, into a restroom or a shower facility with women and girls in it. I find this complete and totally abhorrent, and I can't believe this governor has done this. And I hope and I pray that the people who live here in North Carolina, who are registered voters in this state, they vote this guy out on the next election. What do you think, son?
I really hope so, too. I mean, it's bad enough when you have a company like Target who's putting in and implementing those type of rules and allowing that on their own private property. That I told everybody when Target did that, I said, you don't get mad about Target. They're going to do it if they want to do it. I said, don't buy from them. Don't shop there. Don't give them your money. Simple as that. The issue when a governor does this on a state level and he starts essentially decreeing by force that this is legal and this is okay is you're making the population capitulate to a very, 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 very small, minute part of the other population that literally should have little to no say in what they can do as far as the bathrooms and so forth. I mean, even when they look at the national numbers, the transgender population in the United States, I'm not mistaken, it's like 0.02 of the whole population. I mean, it's minute. It's tiny. It's so, this is what these liberals love to do. They've done this with the Muslim religion. They've done this with the homosexual agenda. Now they're doing this with the transgender agenda. It's this tiny little group stands up in the back and pitches a little fit, and then they go, well, we don't want to offend these people. We don't want to make them mad. You know, there's two people in this crowd of 10,000 that's mad about this. So, okay, the 10,000 people that are in here, you guys have to submit to these two people so we don't offend them. That has to be some of the most stupid liberal logic that I've ever heard of in my life, yet they're continuing to do it all across the country. Very, very sad, very embarrassing. Also, too, one last topic that I wanted to bring up as far as health. I didn't get to bring this up today or earlier yesterday, but this is something that we talk about all the time, and this goes to what Dad was just talking about. When you're adding in different supplements to fight issues off, whether it be cancer, whether it be immune issues, you have to change your diet. Another research just came out, a research study from universities in Belgium conducted a 9-year experiment published in the Nature Communications that revealed how sugar directly stimulates the growth of tumors. We have talked about this repeatedly. There have been dozens of researches that have come out in this, and the reason why I want to bring it up is I want to address how bad sugar is for you guys, especially when you're working on your immune system. They explain that healthy cells receive energy through aerobic respiration, a process that transforms digested food into energy. On the other hand, cancerous cells get energy from fermenting sugar, which causes tumor growth. This is the Warburg effect that I was talking about earlier with this. For this study, they examined the correlation between the strength of the Warburg effect and tumor aggressiveness by observing the sugar fermentation of yeast, which is similar to that of the cells. They both share the unusual characteristic of favoring fermentation of sugar over respiration. The scientists not only confirmed that sugar causes tumors to grow, but this also makes cells multiply faster. They believe the sugar produces more of the most common cancer-causing genes, fueling aggressive tumors. They said our research reveals how the hyperactive sugar consumption of cancer cells leads to a vicious cycle of continued stimulation of cancer development in cells. Thus, it is able to explain the correlation between the strength of the Warburg effect and tumor aggressiveness. The link between sugar and cancer has sweeping consequences, guys. It's so important that you're keeping your diet clean, you're staying away from all this sugar, especially the high fructose corn syrup, and you're taking in the really good quality nutrients like we talked about, like the D3 and excellent C, especially if you're pregnant, guys. D3 is so important when you're pregnant. At Atlanta, when she goes to the midwife, they always test her D3 all the time during pregnancy because it's so important to keep those numbers very elevated while you're pregnant because the baby takes so many nutrients out of you. On turn, it's so important to not put in a bunch of sugar into your body while you're producing a baby, or if you're just trying to stay healthy and in good shape and not feed cancer cells like that, guys. Sugar has really no benefit whatsoever. There's too many natural carbohydrates you can take in, like sweet potatoes and stuff like that, besides taking in white sugar that's going to directly strengthen these cells. So I want to make sure I touch base on that, Dad, before we the show ended today.
Awesome. This is great. Now, you're doing the write-ups on this show. I want you to put on the bottom. This is a must-listen show. This was a really good show, guys. This is one of those shows that you want to hear several times because of the information that we gave you, because Austin's 100% right about sugar. In fact, it's very difficult to recover from cancer if you eat sugar, if you drink coffee, or you drink alcohol. I mean, it's virtually impossible, to be honest with you. If you drink a lot of those or eat a lot of that, you can't do it because it makes your body too acidic. Sugar, your body cannot, cancer has to live in an acidic environment, and those three compounds make your body extremely acidic. So when you hydrogenate your body with hydrogenated oils and all the other things that make it very acidic, it makes it even worse. So if you're eating margarine or sugar or trans fats or pork, all of those things, or high fructose corn syrup, it really, 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 really feeds cancer cells, guys. You've really got to stay away from it. Guys, thanks so much for getting multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here with us today. Thanks for giving us a great show. This is a great show today, Austin. Great content. A lot of you guys have sent me the material that I used today. Thank you for that so much. And just remember something, guys, that this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And we're here and we're called, set aside and called according to a purpose. Always remember, God's in charge and prayer still changes things. I just got another testimonial. A man contacted me a few weeks ago, and his 90-year-old grandmother was in the hospital, and she was like on her death's bed. They'd given her a few days to live, and he asked me to pray, and I prayed. And by golly, she is fully recovered. She is out of the hospital. They went and had dinner together, and he sent me a really long email and just thanked me. Hey, it's not me. All I did was pray. That's the power of our God, of Yahweh and Yeshua, and what they're capable of doing when you pray and you come to them together in agreement. I love you guys. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Thanks for listening. Austin, go ahead and finish the show, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate it. And also, too, in other news, we saw that Tesla was letting off, you know, I think 10% of his workforce. Now there's rumors. I don't know if this is added or not, but it looks like he's going to be moving a huge production facility over to Shanghai, China. It looks like he's gotten permission to do that. So now we'll be taking on more vehicles over there to produce them outside of the country, which just goes to show you that these guys don't care about the economy in the United States. They're simply about the money and building these things as cheaply as possible. Thought that was interesting when I saw it up earlier. But guys, thank you for everything. Thank you for the support. Check out the website, the Healthy Brain. Where is it? The Healthy Brain Kit. I put up on there earlier under the Maximum Health Kits. Healthy Brain Support. That's a really, really good kit for dementia issues, for people that are having memory loss. So check that out. That's a kit on the website. And also, too, the product of the week, the Testo Plus, on sale for 17% off. Actually, a little bit over 17% off. That will be changing tomorrow morning, so be sure to vote for any of the other products that you want on the website at healthmasters.com. And be sure, if you want to get that Testo Plus on sale, get it by tonight, and we'll make sure we get that out to you first thing tomorrow. So, guys, if you need anything, email us at healthmasters.com or call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow as always.